in that fucking barn. I gripped the bottle tighter in my hand. I had no fucking idea what to say to her. I didn't know whether to be pissed or proud. But one thing was for sure. She'd just brought a shit ton of trouble to my door. The brothers could turn on me over this shit. May moved toward me. I tensed, wondering what the fuck was about to happen when she shocked me all to hell by straddling my thighs. I grunted as she sat herself the fuck down and pressed her forehead to mine. I closed my eyes and put my bottle on the side table so I could place my hands on her tiny waist. May began kissing down my cheek and along my neck. I held her tighter as my cock began to harden. Her hands ran down my bare chest, and I lifted my fingers to her hair, fisting the strands tight so I could smash her mouth to mine. May cried out as I sunk my tongue along next to hers and dragged her pussy along my hard cock in my leathers. She broke away, trying to breathe. I never let go of her, though. She was staying right fucking here. "Sticks," May said breathlessly, then edged back on my lap. Her wolf eyes met mine, and I saw the plea in her face. "You cannot kill him. Please. For me. You cannot." I dropped my head back, trying to keep from turning May over and fucking her into next year. Her mouth moved back to my neck. I stared up at the ceiling. You fucked up. May broke from my neck. She brought herself higher so her face looked down on mine.
"I know," she said softly. But I cannot regret it. I love my sister Styx. She deserves to be as happy as Lila and Maddie."
May ran her finger down my face. Her eyes filled with that fucking look she only wore when she looked at me. And it just about destroyed me.
"She deserves to be as blissfully happy as I am with you."
May took my hand from her waist and moved it over her stomach.
"I saw how lost she was when she saw Maddie, Lila, and me, happy in our freedom. Then I saw how she was with Ryder, and how he was with her."
My nose flared as she mentioned that dick.
"I know he has done wrong, but I also agree with Bella. Ryder has done nothing but try to make amends for his role in this mess, ever since he realized it was all false. More than his role, his brothers and uncles too. We need to let it be. I will not see Bella hurt by my husband's hand.
Tears built in her eyes.
"I could not cope with being the reason for her pain. She has suffered enough. Ryder has suffered enough. Just stop."
"May," I groaned and shook my head. I can't.
"You can," she said. "It is quite simple, really. You just forgive him and move on."
I raised my eyebrow and almost fucking cracked when she laughed at my silence. She was so fucking beautiful. The most stunning bitch there ever was. As if she'd read my mind, she kissed my lips and said,
"I love you too."
She sobered up.
"Styx."
I flicked my chin. May sighed.
"I am done with all the blood and pain. A miracle was awarded to us when Bella came home. The commune is done. There is no more hurt. So forgive Ryder. He is Bella's husband. She loves him. Just let it go. Allow them to live in the happiness they have found."
When I didn't say shit in response, May asked,
"Will you consider it? For me, please."
To answer her question, I rolled her over until her back was flat against the couch. May cried out in surprise, but then her wolf eyes grew heavy, and her hands ran through my hair. Reaching down, I pulled my cock from my leathers and hitched up her dress. I didn't want to think about Ryder. I wanted to forget about tonight, period. Right now, I just wanted to sink my cock in May's wet pussy and make my bitch scream. So I did. Over and over a fucking again. 2 days later. I entered church last, dropping to my seat at the head of the table. I hadn't seen my brothers in 2 days. I'd had a fucking lot of thinking to do. Each of my brothers was staring at me. When my eyes fell on Vike, his face was blank. For once, my fucking heart pounded. For once, I felt real fucking fear at what I was about to say. But fuck. It was what was gonna happen. I'd take the fallout, whatever the fuck it might be. I lifted my hands. Ryder ain't gonna die. As Kai said the words aloud, I felt the tension rise in the room. Y'all can think what the fuck you want of me. I don't give two shits, but he's with Bella now, and that bitch is family. I ain't gonna fuck with my family. I took a breath. I got things the turncoat rat needs to stick to, or I will take him out. But he ain't gonna die today. Moving forward in my seat, I shucked off my cut and slammed it on the table. I met each of my brother's faces and signed, "You want me to step down as prez, just say the fucking word. This is my club, my fucking life, but I ain't gonna move on this decision. Just say the word, and I'll hand the reins to Kai." I took my knife from my pocket and held it over my prez patch. I saw Kai shaking his head. But this wasn't his call. If the brothers had lost faith in me, they needed to open their fucking mouths and say so.
"Fuck no,"
someone suddenly said. Flame was sitting forward, glaring at my knife.
"I ain't killing him either. I ain't hurting Maddie. You're the fucking prez. You're staying the fucking prez."
I nodded at Flame. AK leaned back in his seat.
"You ain't going nowhere, Sticks. Fuck the rat. I ain't even gonna think of him no more. There'll be plenty more cunts like him coming our way. I'll just save my rage for them."
More heads nodded.
"You're the fucking prez, Sticks,"
Tank said.
"Ain't gonna lose you because of this shit. That fucker ain't worth it. You've led us this far. You ain't gonna jeopardize a club. I'm with you."
Bull and Tanner nodded in agreement.
"I don't even know the prick," Cowboy drawled. "Ain't no skin off my nose. But yeah, you keep that patch on that cut. We only came here from being nomads because of you. You're not fucking stepping down now over some psycho prophet."
Hush flicked his chin at me in agreement. Smiler, more mute than me, sat at the back. He tipped his head toward me. He was never going to disagree with my call. I met Viking's eyes.
"That fucker needs to die. But no fucker wants to lose you as prez."
The redhead shrugged.
"As long as I don't gotta see his face again, do what the fuck you want. But you and that gavel ain't going nowhere."
He smiled.
"And I like pissing you off too much to see you step down."
"And you know I've got your back," Kai added.
I dropped the knife. Kai turned to the brothers.
"All in agreement that the fucker is left alone?"
A chorus of eyes came sailing my way. Viking slammed his hands on the table.
"Now get that cut back on, Sticks, and stop being so fucking melodramatic. Shit. Between you, your bitches, and Cowboy forever being all open with his hippie feelings, I'm gonna grow a fucking vagina. And that'd be a shame, because my dick is a fucking modern marvel. The anaconda is too precious to lose."
AK rolled his eyes. Cowboy flipped Vike the finger, and just like that, my brothers were back at my side. I put away my knife, threw on my cut, and slammed the gavel down to the table. Church done. I pounded out of the door and down the hallway. I slammed open Smiler's door. A shocked gasp met my entrance. Bella and Ryder were lying in bed. The prick was in a bad fucking way. Bella hadn't left his side since the barn. May told me Bella didn't ever leave in case we took that opportunity to get at her man. Even now, Bella jumped off the bed and prepared herself to fight. I didn't know what the fuck she was thinking, acting like she could take me. But she impressed me. Bella was one fucking feisty bitch. I could see why May liked her so fucking much.
"What do you want?"
Bella asked coldly. I ignored her and moved to the bed. Ryder's face was a bruised, battered mess. He had bandages everywhere, and one of his eyes was still sealed shut. The other one wasn't much better, but he could see me. And I could fucking see his apprehension as I stood there. I lifted my hands and signed. "Need to talk to him." Bella frowned.
"I do not understand you."
My nostrils flared with frustration. Ryder opened his swollen, cracked lips and managed to rasp out,
He needs to talk to me."
"Then talk,"
Bella said, folding her arms. "Alone," I signed, quickly losing patience with her attitude. Ryder told her what I'd said.
"No,"
she said. I saw the panic in her face. My teeth clenched.
"Bella?"
May's voice came from the doorway. Bella looked at my bitch.
"He will not hurt him. You have my word."
Bella stared at me, trying to read my face or some shit. I stared right the fuck back.
"Bella, please, leave them alone,"
May begged.
Bella's shoulders slumped. Moving to Ryder, she kissed him on his forehead, then walked past me. The bitch eyeballed me the entire way. I decided right then that if she'd have been a guy, I'd have recruited her to my club on the spot. When the door shut behind her, I walked to the chair by the bed and sat down. Ryder watched me the whole way. My attention fell to the cross-shaped scar on his chest. I felt fuck-all remorse. So this is what's gonna happen. Ryder watched my hands like a hawk. Since you're married to May's sister and it would kill my bitch if she left over your stupid ass, you ain't gonna die. I saw Ryder's chest lift up and down as he breathed hard. I leaned forward. But that's where the fucking charity ends. May will only be happy if Bella is close, but Bella being close means your rat ass being close. I shrugged. Then again, it means we can track your every move. And we will. Everywhere you go will be monitored. You won't take a shit without one of us knowing about it. And if you ever try and do anything to fuck with the club, there'll be no more second chances. Ryder looked like he wanted to speak, but I didn't want to hear his fucking excuses. I shook my head, warning him not to even try and talk. He didn't. You'll live on the farthest side of the property, well out of fucking sight, but close enough that we can watch you. But I don't want to see your face anywhere near the inside of this club. I don't want to see you trying to creep back in. In fact, I don't ever want to see you again, period. So that's what's going to happen. Once you can move, you're getting the fuck out of my way and out of my MC. I stood up. I was just about to reach for the door handle when the fucker said hoarsely,
"If I could go back, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't have turned coat. I'll regret it every day for the rest of my life."
My back bunched at the sound of his traitorous voice, at what he fucking said. But I didn't respond. I walked out into the hallway where May and Bella were waiting. Bella shouldered past me and went into the room. The door slammed shut. I ran my hand down my face. Crazy fucking bitch. When I looked up, May was in front of me wearing a huge fucking smile.
"You have chosen the path of forgiveness?"
I shook my head in frustration. It was only for her. Always only for fucking her. Kai was right. I was such a fucking pussy. Cuntstruck. So fucking cuntstruck. May stood on her tiptoes and pressed her mouth against mine. Groaning into her mouth, I slammed her against the wall and took her full lips with mine. May moaned, then pulled away. My hands fell to her waist, and I felt her looking at me hard. May took a deep breath.
"River?"
My heart fucking slammed against my chest whenever she called me by that name. I flicked my chin.
"I think it is time."
I frowned. "Time for what?" May cupped my rough cheeks with her hands and answered my unspoken question.
"For me to be completely yours. For me to finally become Mrs. River Nash."
I froze. I fucking froze stock still and my eyes narrowed. When? I barked, wanting it to happen fucking yesterday.
"As soon as we can," she said, and put my hand on her stomach. "Before our child arrives, when things around here have calmed down again."
I wanted to ride out, kidnap the first fucking pastor I found, and drag his holy ass to the clubhouse to marry us. But instead, I decided to take my soon-to-be wife back to our cabin and fuck her until she screamed. So I fucking did.
Chapter 19. Ryder. 10 days later.
"Do you need anything else?"
Bella asked as she helped me back to bed from the shower. "No," I said, and held onto her hand. Bella smiled down at me. I glanced down at her hand in mine, at the wedding ring on her fourth finger. She crawled onto the bed beside me. I winced as I twisted to face her. Bella looked down at the simple gold band.
"The most sacred thing I possess," she said, smiling. "It was the best thing I ever did."
My heart stuttered. I could see in her eyes that she meant it. Hell, the past few days had shown me how much she really loved me. It was funny as hell to me. Bella credited me with saving her life when really she had saved me in every single way possible. She gave me life when she spoke to me through that stone wall. She gave me hope when she wanted me despite who I was. And she fought the hangman for me when I should have died. Over the past 10 days, she had never left my side. She had showered me with the love I had missed out on growing up. She had told me more than once that she would make up for all the kisses I should have been given as a child, the embraces I was starved of in my youth. And she meant it. Bella always held my hand. She had held my hand in hers ever since our days in the cell. And here she still was, still holding my fucking hand in bed. A knock sounded on the door, and Smiler came through, as he did every day. Bella sat up, just as a little blonde girl pushed past Smiler's legs, taking advantage of the open door.
Grace!
I heard Lila call.
I am sorry,
Lila said as she appeared in the doorway.
The little monster likes to run away.
I smiled as I heard the happiness in her voice. I felt a pair of eyes on my face. Grace was standing beside my bed, staring at me. Her eyes narrowed in confusion. I glanced at Bella, who was watching in amusement. Hello, Grace, I said. Grace turned to Lila with a little frown on her face.
Mama?
Grace said.
I thought you said the prophet was in heaven now.
My stomach dropped when she pointed to me.
But he is here. I have found him again.
Lila's eyes widened in embarrassed shock. Then she darted further into the room. She crouched beside Grace.
No, Grace. Do you not remember Ryder? Remember I said he was the prophet's brother?
Grace nodded dubiously.
But he looks just like the prophet. I know. That is because he is his twin. Remember I explained what a twin was?
Grace nodded her head.
People who share the same face. That is right.
Lila got to her feet.
I am so sorry, Ryder. She still gets confused a lot. The transition from her former life to this is difficult. Lines blur.
It's okay, I said. But inside I was fucking dying. I hadn't even looked in a mirror since I'd been laid up in this bed like a damn cripple. It wasn't because of my injuries. It was because I didn't want to see the man staring back. I saw him every time I closed my eyes, gasping for breath, pleading with me to let him live.
Aunt Bella, come outside. I want to show you something,
Grace said, snapping me from my thoughts. Bella rocked on her feet. I could see she wanted to go, but she didn't want to leave me. Go, I said, forcing a smile. Please. I needed some time alone. Bella nodded in understanding and let Grace take her hand and lead her outside. I closed my eyes. I worked on breathing, but the fucking constant ache in my chest flared to life, crippling my lungs.
You good?
I opened my eyes to see Smiler holding out some painkillers. I nodded and took them from his hands. Smiler gave me a glass of water and I knocked the painkillers back. I put the glass on the side table, fucking wincing when the pain from my cracked ribs cut through me. Fuck, I hissed as I lowered myself back down. Smiler busied himself with the bandages he'd brought. The brother had been here every day despite some of the hangmen giving him shit. I didn't know why. Hell, I had no idea why he even helped me from the barn in the first place. I want to get to that cabin, man, and out of this clubhouse, I said.
You will. A few more days.
I can get there now, I argued. Smiler just shrugged. Anger whipped in my veins. I don't want to be in this clubhouse anymore. The brothers all fucking want me dead, and Bella never gets out of this fucking room. She never dares leave me in case one of them goes against the Prez's order not to kill me. Smiler nodded.
Damn good bitch you got there,
he said, and closed the medical bag, the bag that used to be mine. Smiler had told me he'd taken over as the makeshift doctor when I left. Another way I'd fucked him over. I lay back down on the bed. She'd have been better off without me. I shook my head. What the fuck kind of life will she have with me here? Styx won't let me leave the property for fear that I'll fuck y'all over again. Bella needs to be with her sisters. Yet we're gonna be living acres away from them because he also doesn't want to see my face near the club. I took a deep inhale to calm myself down. She'd have been better off if I died. Fuck, man, I wanted to die in that barn. Being spared just means I've got more time to live with all the fucking shit that's happened, that I've caused. I rubbed my eyes. I don't want to sleep no more because the dreams come. And I can't stand seeing Bella suffering as an outcast because of me when I'm awake. I sighed. She should have fucking let me die. Silence met my words, until Smiler moved toward the door and said,
You don't even know what you've got.
I leaned up on my elbows to see him better. The brother looked pissed as all hell.
What?
I asked. Smiler shook his head.
You, Bella, you have no fucking idea how good you got it. Fuck the club. Fuck your psycho brother and the nightmares. Fuck the fact that Grace thought you were the prophet. What the hell does it matter when you got your life in a bitch that would fucking die for you? Literally. A hot bitch that fucking worships the bastard ground you walk on. Why the hell care about anything else when you have that?
I flinched at the venom in Smiler's voice.
Fuck, Smiler, I said,
and swallowed back my surprise. He closed his eyes and took a deep breath. When he opened his eyes, he said calmly,
I'd give anything to have that back. That kind of bitch who'd look at me like Bella looks at you. Who would give everything up just to be with me. I don't think you know what kind of fucking blessing you got already. Yeah, you had a fucked up life. But karma's fucking giving it back tenfold with Bella.
I stared at Smiler, not knowing what the hell to say. He turned his back to me.
I had it once, Ryder. Took her for granted like you're doing now with Bella, he said. And the stupid fuck that I am, I had no idea what she meant to me until she was dying in my fucking arms, her fading eyes begging me to fucking save her. But I couldn't. She was done. Now I'd give anything just to have her fucking look at me again. Like Bella looks at you. Just for one more fucking day.
Smiler, I said.
I didn't know, Well, now you do, so don't fuck it up. Cause then you'll definitely pray that you'd fucking died in that barn. Life's real shit when you're alone. Real fucking shit.
Smiler left the room and shut the door. I didn't know how long I stayed just staring after him. I lay back down and thought about everything he'd said, thought about the last few months. I thought about how I had avoided looking in the mirror. I was a pussy. A fucking pussy, because I couldn't stand seeing Judah in my reflection. I didn't know how the fuck to move on when literally everything about me reminded me of the person I wanted to forget most. The sounds of the brothers and their wives or sluts came drifting from the bar. It was family day at the Hangmen. The sound of laughter and loud cheering filled every inch of space, while I was locked away to make sure no fucker touched me. I closed my eyes, just trying to fucking breathe, when I heard the door click open and close. Annoyed at the unwanted intrusion, I opened my eyes, ready to ask whoever it was to leave. Then I froze. May. Silence stretched between us as she began walking toward my bed. I watched her the entire way, not knowing what the fuck to say. What was there to say? Guilt and a truckload of embarrassment flooded through me when I thought of what I'd done to her, what I'd put her through. The crazy fucking obsession I used to have with her. May sat down on the chair beside my bed and looked straight into my eyes. May, I began, but she suddenly held up her hand, cutting me off.
No, please, let me speak, she said softly.
I nodded my head. May glanced down at her hands on her lap.
Just tell me you love her.
I tensed as those words left her mouth. When I didn't immediately respond, May looked up.
I need to know that you want her heart and soul. I need to know that you love her completely, forever. I need to know that she is your everything and always will be.
My racing heart pumped the blood around my body at a breakneck speed.
Yes.
My voice came out raspy and broken. I cleared my throat, feeling heat flood my cheeks. I love her more than anything, May. You have no idea how much. I searched my head for the right words. I have waited my entire life to feel whole. I thought it would come with my ascension. Instead, it came with her. From the minute I heard her voice, I was changed. I lifted my hand and placed it over my heart. I would die for her. I would do anything for her. You have my word. May's blue eyes shimmered and a small smile pulled on her lips. Unable to leave anything unsaid, I rasped,
May.
I shook my head in shame. What I did to you, how I treated you.
It does not matter now,
she interrupted.
It does.
I argued, then I took a deep breath. For the longest time I thought I loved you. May dropped her gaze. But I know now that I didn't. Now I have Bella. I understand what love truly is, and it is not what I felt for you. Guilt and humiliation ran thick in my veins. You were my friend, and I stupidly threw it away.
I'm so embarrassed about how I acted. If I could change it, if I could just go back, I wouldn't be that way. I wouldn't. May's hand reached out to cover mine on the bed, cutting me off. I inhaled deeply, trying to calm my shot nerves.
Ryder, it is done. I can see you have changed, but more than that, I see how you look at Bella. You never looked at me that way, and that is good. It is how it is all meant to be. I see that now.
The heavy weight on my shoulders began to lighten some. May said,
"Just promise me you will care for her like no other."
Her hand gripped mine tightly.
"She has fought so hard, for so long, Ryder. From such a young age, she cared for us all. She was our most fierce protector. But it made her tired. So very tired, but she never stopped being there for us, loving us, being the mother we never had."
My chest ached. I imagined Bella as a child, displaying the same tenacity she had when she protected me from the hangmen. The thought almost made me break down. A broken laugh spilled from May's lips.
"She would tell us of the life we would one day have, free and with men who loved us for us, our souls, not our looks."
May wiped away a stray tear.
"And she believed it so much, Ryder. Then she died, or at least we thought she had died. In the dark of night here at the compound, I would mourn the life she dreamed for us all, because we all achieved it and she did not. Little did I know that Bella was alive and fighting still, fighting to survive, then returning to New Zion to fight for those who could not fight for themselves."
May paused, then tipped her head toward me.
"And she fought for you. Fought for your life. Fought so bravely for the man who has stolen her heart."
I swallowed back the lump in my throat.
"But now it is time for her fight to end."
May took a breath.
"It is time for her to lower her shield and finally be happy. It is time for her to have peace."
I glanced away, blinking the water from my eyes. May got to her feet.
"Bella is and will always be the very beat to my heart. She is the greatest treasure anyone could find," she said. "And I am happy that it is you who showed her her worth, because she is priceless, Ryder. Truly priceless."
May walked to the door. Just as she reached for the handle, I said, "I'm sorry, May. For what it's worth. I'm so fucking sorry for it all." May glanced at me over her shoulder.
"It is the past, Ryder. We both now have the futures that were meant for us. It is time to keep our eyes forward. No looking back."
I bowed my head in agreement. "You're risking a lot coming here to see me. Styx won't be happy if he catches you." May shrugged.
"I needed to make sure you loved Bella as much as I needed you to."
May smiled. A pure, joyful smile.
"And having Bella back has taught me to have more of a backbone. She has taught me to be stronger. Bella is the consummate rule breaker. But I now see some rules need to be broken."
"That she is," I said, picturing Bella's beautiful face in my head. I felt the warmth infuse my muscles at the thought of her perfect eyes and mouth, at the way she looked at me. Only me. With uncensored love.
"You know, Ryder,"
May said,
"we were good friends once. I feel that maybe one day we could be again."
A familiar platonic smile graced May's mouth, and I replied, "Yeah. Being your friend sounds good, May. Friends. All we ever should have been." May left the room, plunging it into a heavy silence. I stared at the ceiling, replaying what had just happened. "It is time to keep our eyes forward, no looking back." May was right. I knew she was. There was no looking back for any of us now. As my eyes closed, I tried to convince myself to follow her advice. It was easier said than done when your past was a heavy burden on your back. But I had to try. For Bella, I had to just try. Some time later, I opened my eyes. I shifted on the bed as my muscles gradually woke up, hearing the family and friends of the hangmen still having fun outside. I groaned when I realized I needed a piss. I staggered to the bathroom, gripping onto my broken ribs. When I was done, I moved back toward the bathroom door and caught my reflection in the mirror above the sink. And I froze. I fucking froze, my heart dropping when, in that second, I saw Judah's face staring back. For a brief moment, I had forgotten it all.
My pulse hammered in my neck, and I fought to catch my breath as all the unwanted images of him came flooding to my brain. Exhausted, body weak, I leaned on the sink and closed my eyes. My arms shook with the rage that was settling within me. Judah. Fucking Judah. Even in death, he was still keeping me under his spell, still polluting my mind, still ruining my fucking life. I opened my eyes and looked back in the mirror. My jaw tensed as I stared myself down. I pulled back my hand and slammed it into the cabinet on the wall. The contents poured out as I smashed the door from its hinges. As I focused on breathing through the pain of my broken ribs, I saw something in the sink. I picked up the black hair clippers and stared into the mirror. Judah and I had always had long hair. We had always had beards, just like Jesus and the disciples. But I didn't want to be anything like Jesus. And I absolutely did not want to be like Judah. Without thinking, I flicked the switch and brought the clippers to my scalp. Ignoring the screaming pain of my ribs, I forced the buzzing blades through my long brown hair. With every chunk of hair that fell to the floor, a fucking strangled cry left my mouth. With every newly shorn section, I gritted my teeth and pushed Judah from my mind. His smiles, his laugh, his hand on my back, his excitement, his happiness, his fucking insanity, his victims' faces as they cried in pain, his crazed fucking eyes, his nails on my skin as they clawed for me to stop, his glassy eyes as he died. Tears poured down my face and I watched the last of my hair fall into the sink. I moved to my beard and shaved that too. The blade wasn't too short, so I didn't get it all. But when I dropped the clippers, I looked at my new reflection and felt everything come crashing down. Judah was gone. He was gone from my fucking face. My legs gave way and I sank to the floor. My hands landed on my head and I screamed out all of my pain as I felt my palm meet the shorter hair. I'd wanted Judah gone, but I hadn't known how much fucking pain I would feel when he finally was. I curled forward, rocking through the unbearable ache in my chest.
Ryder!
I heard Bella call frantically. She came racing through, dropping immediately to my side. Someone else was in the doorway. I looked up. Sister Ruth was watching me fucking fall apart.
Ryder!
Bella whispered.
What have you done?
She picked up clumps of my fallen hair. I couldn't be him anymore, I said. I couldn't look in the mirror and see him. I couldn't see everyone out there in that bar and have them see me as him. Grace, Lila. I looked at my wife. You. Bella shook her head.
No, Ryder. You are not your brother. No one thinks that.
Judah's dying words raced through my mind. Evil begets evil, Cain. Whatever sin blackens, my soul lives in you too. We are the same. Made the same. Born the same.
We are,
I said. I traced the veins in my wrist with my fingers. We share the same blood. I shook my head.
We never knew our parents, but look at our uncle. Look at Judah. I am made from the same evil as they were. I can't escape my fate.
I hated the helpless expression on Bella's face. I didn't want to hurt her even more than I already had. But...
Do you think I am evil?
My head snapped up to Ruth, who was standing nervously in the doorway. I frowned.
What?
Ruth lowered herself to the floor and sat opposite me. Bella molded herself against my side and took hold of my hand. I drew strength from her touch. She was my fucking strength.
Do you think I am evil?
Ruth repeated. Bella looked confused.
No,
I said, staring at the woman I knew almost nothing about. She looked different now. In her long skirt and shirt, from when I'd first met her. Her long brown hair was down and her brown eyes watched me closely. So fucking closely. Ruth swallowed and lowered her eyes.
Then you are like me.
I had no idea what she was talking about. I don't understand. Ruth kept her eyes down. Her hands were clasped on her lap.
I was 13 when I was taken away by my adopted older brother. My parents were never around, too busy finding their next drink to care. So he took me. He came for me and told me he had found God and that he had been given a holy task to fulfill.
I completely froze as she continued.
He took me to Texas. I could not believe his new home when I saw it. I could not believe all the people that loved him, worshipped him. But my love of his home did not last.
Bella squeezed my hand so tight I thought it might cut off my blood.
Because he came for me one night. I didn't understand what he wanted from me, his sister. But I soon found out.
She winced.
He took me to his bed and...
Ruth squeezed her eyes shut. When she lifted her head, tears were tumbling down her cheeks.
I did not know I was carrying twins. Lance, my brother, kept it from me when the medics gave me scans. I was kept away in seclusion until they were born.
She released a sob.
I was only allowed to hold them in my arms for a few minutes after they were born. I had never wanted those children. They were forced upon me by him. But when I saw their big eyes staring up at me, I instantly fell in love. I wanted them so badly. I can barely explain it. They were mine, my soul, my heart, until he took them away. No.
Bella whispered, and her hand shook violently in mine. I tried to breathe, but I couldn't. No air was getting through.
I cried and cried for hours. I screamed for my sons to be brought back to me. But I was told by my older brother, the prophet, that my boys, his sons, were to be raised as his heirs. That God had given him instructions on how to raise them, far away from the people, because they were special. Ruth,
Bella said, and reached out for her hand. Ruth's face contorted with pain as Bella gave her much-needed comfort, but I couldn't move. Shock rendered me speechless.
I never got over losing my boys. The prophet said I had become a plague on the commune with my depression and lack of faith, so he sent me away. He sent me far away from my son so I would not interfere with God's plans.
Puerto Rico,
Bella whispered. Ruth nodded.
I was there, until we were brought back to the U.S. to join New Zion.
Ruth looked at me nervously, then shuffled forward. She picked up a piece of my hair from the floor. I realized then that her hair and mine were exactly the same brown. Her eyes were the same color and shape as my own. She was...
I think that Judah was like his father, and that...
She swallowed.
That you are like your mother.
She met my eyes.
Me.
I stared at this woman, trying to take in everything she was telling me. Uncle David wasn't my uncle, he was my father. And he had raped his adopted sister. My mother. I don't know how to be a son. I wasn't sure why that was the first thing that spilled from my lips, but it was. Ruth sighed and cast me a watery smile.
I do not know how to be a mother.
I dropped my head, not knowing how the fuck to deal. Suddenly a hand was placed in my free hand, warm and soft and... Mother, I whispered, fighting to push my words out of my clogged throat. I have a mother.
Yes,
Ruth cried, her hand trembling in mine.
And if you would let me, I would like to know you. I love you, son. I always have.
Bella leaned over to Ruth and kissed her on her temple. My wife curled into my side, forever keeping me close, keeping me from breaking. I sat on the bathroom floor, my hands and heart filled by my wife and my mother. Both good women, both pure souls. All of us survivors. Smiler's words replayed in my mind, and I knew the brother was right. I had to try and live. I had been blessed by pure gifts in my life of impure hell. Squeezing the hand of my mother and the hand of my stunning, brave wife, I closed my eyes. And this time, as the darkness set in, no horrific images came to mind. Instead, a lightness spread through my chest and a warmth lit up my heart. And despite it all, I smiled. I smiled and kept my family close. Because I was blessed. So truly fucking blessed.
Chapter 20. Bella. 3 days later. I threaded the black shirt onto Ryder's arms and pulled it over his still injured torso. He could dress himself now, but I worried it strained him too much. When I lifted my gaze, his eyes were already on mine. Over the past few days, it had been that way. Like something had changed within him, something that had made him cherish me, adore me. Except that I would never leave his side. It was the truth. I was not going anywhere.
Are you well?
I asked. I lost the ability to breathe as he leaned forward, capturing my mouth with his own. I closed my eyes as I ran my hands through his recently shorn hair. He pulled away, and I smiled when he whispered, "Yeah, I'm well." "Good." I placed a kiss on his head. I moved to gather the few things he needed from the room. This day brought our departure from the hangman and resettlement in our new home. When Ryder had told me of Styx's decision, I'd cried. In that moment, all my pent-up emotions fled my body. All the strength that I had forced myself to hold on to fell away. He was to survive. I was to live my life with the one I loved. That was all that mattered. There was a soft knock at the door. I smiled when I saw Sister Ruth enter. Her timid eyes immediately landed on her son. Her son. Even now, as I watched the quiet woman approach Ryder, her body racked with nerves, I could barely believe it. Ryder met her gaze and a nervous smile spread on his lips. They were both so broken by their pasts, but desperately trying to fight for a future, as mother and son reunited at last. "How are you feeling?" she asked. She raised her hand to touch a fading bruise. She faltered mid-movement, but I watched with pride as she kept going and ran her hand gently over Ryder's skin. Ryder swallowed at the brief touch of affection.
"I'm feeling better. Happy to be leaving this place."
Ruth nodded in understanding. Stephen arrived at the door with Solomon and Samson in tow. I wrapped him in a hug. The past couple of weeks had been good for Stephen and my sisters. We had spoken daily and all grown closer. I already knew of his kind heart and spirit from my days in Puerto Rico, but knowing he was my father, my blood, made my connection to him even deeper. I could see it was the same for May and Maddie, too. May, like she did with most people, welcomed him into her heart. And as for Maddie, every day she became more comfortable around him. Every day her barriers were crumbling down just that bit more. I was so proud of them both. Stephen and Ruth had moved to an apartment that Tank owned just outside of the compound. I had often wondered in Puerto Rico if they were more than friends, but I was assured they were not. I thought that, in a way, Ruth saw Stephen as the older brother she should have had. Stephen had cared for her and given her the love she had needed so desperately in Puerto Rico. They were best friends. They were our family. Solomon and Samson had taken the apartment above the garage. They visited the clubhouse often, and not just to see Ryder and me. I got the distinct impression that the brothers liked the hangmen. At least, they liked how they lived. Solomon had confided in me that he found the way the hangmen lived was not a huge adjustment from their role as guards. The hangmen seemed quite fond of the brothers, too. I could understand that. Solomon and Samson had always been strong, decent men. I was never told what had happened to them to take them to the defector's commune, but I understood it was bad. I could see it in their eyes every time they spoke about our former home. Like me, they were simply trying to adjust to this strange new world in any way they could, though, unlike them, I had yet to realize that we were truly free. I had yet to even step out of these clubhouse doors.
"You ready?" Solomon asked Ryder.
"Yeah," Ryder said.
Solomon and Samson helped him off the bed and toward the door. My heart sank when I saw how much weight he had lost. His denim pants hung loosely off his legs, and the shirt that used to be fitted was now a size too large. I still found his short hair strange, and his shorter beard, too. Yet he still looked breathtaking. Long or short hair, beard or not, he was still so incredibly handsome. Ryder slowly walked to the door. I followed behind with Ruth and Stephen. As we walked down the hallway, I could hear voices coming from the bar. That filled me with nerves. It was no secret that the men hated Ryder. Only Smiler had ever come to see him. This was not going to be easy. As Ryder entered the bar, it fell into silence. Ruth stretched her hand out and gripped mine. I straightened my shoulders as we followed behind, and my heart cracked. Each of the brothers were glaring over at Ryder. Words were not necessary. We could read their silent expressions. None of them wanted Ryder to be alive. My breath faltered as the men rose from their seats, folding their arms across their chests, sneers on their faces. My heart shattered apart in pride as Ryder hid the devastation I knew he would be feeling and forced his legs to move forward. He shook his arms from Solomon and Samson's supportive grips and turned to face them. I was right. This reaction from his former club was killing him inside. The pain in his eyes was obvious. I can walk myself. I had to turn my face away as my husband staggered forward under the hateful glares from the men in the bar. I could not bear the sight of seeing him try to hold on to the pride they had so savagely ripped away. I heard Ruth suck in a pained breath. Ryder had stopped in the center of the room to breathe through his pain. I wanted to go to him, to help him, but Ruth shook her head. Let him do this, she whispered almost silently. He needs to do this himself. It went against all my instincts, but I knew she was right. My husband raised his head and started walking to the exit. He kept his face straight forward, never once looking back. Because we could not. If we were to survive, we had to look solely to the future. He was doing just that, stealing more of my love as he did so. Ryder made it to the door, and he stepped outside. Solomon and Samson went straight after him, but I could not. Instead, I roved my disappointed gaze over all of the men who had so cruelly stood and intimidated him. But they did not care. I could see it in their blank expressions. I was unsure if Ryder would ever fall back into their favor. Too much bad blood had passed between them. I no longer cared. I was beginning to feel that these men were not worthy of his favor. I did not understand how they could stand by and ignore everything he had done to atone for his sins. He was worth more than these men were giving him, and yet he took it all. I loved that man. I loved him with a breathless, soul-shattering intensity. Ruth tugged on my arm for me to move forward. Just as I was about to go, I saw my sister standing to the back of the bar. Their beautiful faces were conflicted, riddled with uncertainty. But I did not blame them. I knew now the sacrifices you made for the man you loved. I dipped my head at them. Maddie almost brought tears to my eyes when she lifted her hand and cast me a delicate wave. I loved them, too. I loved them so much that I would let them go. They were no longer children needing my protection. I, too, had to move on. Bella, Ruth said. I nodded my head and followed her outside, where two vehicles were waiting for us. Ruth got into one with Solomon and Samson. Stephen sat in the front of the other. I had been surprised to discover that he could drive, having learned before he joined the commune. I climbed in behind my father. Ryder's head was resting against the headrest, but his sad eyes were on me. Sudden emotion caused my eyes to prick with tears. I reached for his hand. I am so proud of you, baby. So very, very proud. Ryder's eyes closed. He said nothing, and I did not push it. I would not shatter the fading strength that he was clinging to. I shuffled beside him and laid my head on his shoulder. I held tightly to my husband as we drove past several empty fields. Stephen stopped the truck in front of a small wooden cabin. It had none of the grandeur or luxury of May's or Lila's. It did not even look as well kept as Maddie and Flame's. But my excitement grew nonetheless. This was to be our home. I'm sorry, Ryder suddenly said. Why? I asked, my eyebrows drawn down. This, he said, pointing at the cabin. It's a mess. Run down. Less than you deserve. I met his eyes and shook my head. No, it is ours. It will become our home. Looks do not matter, remember? Ryder searched my face doubtfully, then a smirk blossomed on his face. We entered the cabin. It was small and in need of cleaning, but there was a large bed and a couch. To me, it was a palace. Ruth dressed the bed, and Ryder moved slowly to it. He sat on the side of the bed while I crouched down and untied his boots. Ryder watched my every move. I love you, I read on his face. I love you too, I said with mine. A throat cleared behind us. We shall leave you alone to settle in, Stephen said, casting his disappointed eyes around the shabby room. Thank you, I said. Solomon, Samson, and Stephen left the cabin. Ruth came awkwardly to the bed as Ryder lay down. He was tired. I could see his eyelids dragging down. Do you need me to stay and help you clean? Ruth asked. I shook my head. No, I can do it. This place is not so big. Ruth nodded, then nervously approached her son. I moved out of the way, busying myself with the cleaning supplies Ruth had brought us.
but I could not help but watch the tentative new relationship between mother and son with a lump in my throat. Ryder watched his mother as she rounded the bed to stand by his side. Ruth ran her hand along the edge of the bed. "Will you be okay here?" "Yes," Ryder said in his low, fractured voice. Ruth nodded. "Maybe I could come out to see you most days, if that is something you would want. It is okay if you do not, but..." "Yes," Ryder cut in. He cleared his throat. "I would love that, to see you."
The blinding smile that bloomed on Ruth's face could light the darkest of skies.
"Okay," she breathed. "Then I shall look forward to it."
Ruth stood awkwardly and carefully leaned forward to drop a sweet kiss to Ryder's forehead. Ryder's eyes closed at the touch. My heart soared. Ruth said goodbye and left the cabin, smiling at me as she passed. I glanced to the bed. Ryder's eyes were already on mine. I crossed the room and wrapped my hand around his. I sat on the edge of the bed and leaned over to kiss Ryder's soft lips. I ran my hand over his hair.
"Sleep, baby," I whispered. "Sleep."
Ryder's eyes drifted shut, and in minutes his breath evened out. While he slept, I cleaned the cabin, finishing just as dusk began to bring its early curtain of darkness. Needing to get some fresh air, I stepped out into the humid night. I sat down on a log that sat amid the wildly overgrown grass, and I breathed. I breathed and breathed and allowed myself, for the first time, to let our new reality sink in. We were free. We were out of the commune, away from the hangmen, and we were free. I felt tears flood down my cheeks, and I allowed myself to cry. I cried and I cried for all of the lost lives, the burdens, and the pain. I cried out everything I had kept locked inside for years, sending it all into the twilight sky. Minutes and minutes passed until all my tears had been shed. In its place was a welcomed numbness, the spark of a new beginning. I stared at the old wooden cabin. Hope sprouted in my chest. It was ours. We had a home of our own. I took in a deep breath as I thought about our future. I had no idea what it would hold. For the first time since we had arrived here, I wondered how I would live in this outside world. Brother Stephen had explained so much to me in Puerto Rico that I found myself feeling a strange mixture of recognition and uncertainty when I was faced with new buildings, people, and things, devices that were shunned by our people. Even clothes that some people wore confused me. But I did not let it scare me. If I had survived this far, I was determined to take on this new world's way of life with my eyes wide open. I would no longer be held back. I tipped my head back and smiled when I saw the stars begin to shine. Suddenly, I heard the sound of a vehicle approaching. Lights came slowly toward the cabin. I tensed, wondering who it could be. The vehicle stopped, and my sisters got out. All three. Lil Ash sat in the driver's seat. He threw me a small, shy wave. I waved back. Too tired to rise from the log, I smiled as my sisters came toward me, dishes in their hands. Lila was the first to speak.
"We have brought you food for your new home."
"Thank you," I said, and got to my feet. I took the dish from Lila's hand and placed it near the door.
"Rada is asleep," I explained.
"Shall we sit?" May asked, pointing to the log. I nodded and sat back down. Lila sat beside me. Maddie and May settled on the ground opposite us. I watched as Maddie looked all around us, a sadness sprouting in her eyes.
"Do not be sad," I said to my youngest sister.
Maddie looked up at me through damp lashes.
"I do not like that you are so far away from us," she wiped her cheek. "I do not like that you must live out here all alone, unable to come to the gatherings, our celebrations, to our homes."
My stomach fell at the pain in her voice. Reaching forward, I took hold of her hand.
"Maddie, it has to be this way, and I am okay with it. He is alive. That is all that matters to me, not this house or the distance, but that my heart did not break with another devastating loss.
And that is because of you." I sat back, releasing Maddie's hand.
"I have not had a chance to thank you all properly, but you will never know what it meant to me when you came to stand beside me in that barn. I choked on a sob. When I saw him tied up, so broken, I feared I would never be able to breathe again. I blinked through my blurred vision. But then you each stood beside me, in solidarity beside me. May shifted and laid her hand over mine. Always, she whispered. We will always be that way. Lila shifted her hand to my shoulder and nodded her head. Maddie inched forward and put her hand over May's. I felt the touch of my sister's, and I had to close my eyes to savor this moment. This moment that felt so impossible before, now so real and so true, so welcome. I opened my eyes. We have always been this way, have we not? Us four against the world? I huffed a small laugh. Despite it all, we had a love that could never be shaken, a bond that no man could break. Not even now, May said and smiled. Not even in that barn. We would never have left you alone. You are our sister. We will never let you go again. And they will never understand, Lila said softly. I turned to my sister. The men here, our husbands included, they will never truly understand why you saved him. But we do. I stilled. Lila looked back at the closed door of the cabin. I have thought hard about what you said in the barn, and it is true. We always had one another. He had no one. Her eyes shimmered. Imagine being alone your entire life with only a brother like Judah by your side. Ryder would not have even known Judah was corrupted. He never had anyone to compare him to. May sighed sadly. Bella, I do not think they will ever let him back in. I know, I replied. And that is okay, because he has me. He has Ruth, Stephen, Samson, and Solomon. And us, Maddie said with a blush on her cheeks. He has us too. We all understand what that life was like, and we do not lay blame at his feet. I nodded my head, too overcome with gratitude to answer. When I had pulled myself together, I whispered, I love you. I love you all so much. We love you too, May said. I felt the tiredness of the past few weeks begin to take me over. Lila stroked her hand down my face. You are exhausted. Yes, I sighed. So, so tired. We got to our feet. Maddie's arms were immediately around my waist, her cheek against my chest. You do not have to fight anymore, she whispered, her soft voice a balm to my nerves. We are all safe. Ryder is too. You no longer have to fight. She lifted her head and her green gaze fell into mine. You can live now, Bella. We are all happy. You are too. There's no more war for you to fight. My face contorted as I cried, my shoulders racking with the impact of her words. Lila's and May's arms wrapped around me too. This time it was them comforting me, saving me, protecting me. This is all I ever wanted, I managed to say. This moment, right now. All of us free. It is all I ever dreamed for us for so long. And you have it. You got it for us, May said. My sisters held me in their tight embraces for many minutes. When the tears had gone and the night grew still, I lifted my head. One by one, they kissed my cheek and stepped away. But before Lila did, she said, Be happy, sister. That is the gift we have all been given. I will, I said. I am. Lila smiled, and it was beautiful. As they walked away, I asked, Will you come and see me sometime? May looked over her shoulder. We will be here every day, Bella. Every single day. I covered my heart with my hands in thanks. I was surprised I could not feel it swelling under my palm. I went back into the cabin, taking the food they had brought. The small lamp in the corner was the only light in the house. I cast my gaze over the three small rooms, and I smiled. It was clean. It was ours. It was home. I placed the dishes on the counter and went over to the bed. Ryder was now dressed in only his underwear. His skin glistened in the heat. He must have removed his clothes when he was too hot. I shed my dress and climbed onto the bed. It was still strange to feel a soft mattress under my back, but it was a luxury I was becoming used to, especially with Ryder sleeping beside me. As I rolled to face my husband, his sleepy eyes blinked open, his top lip hooked into a smile.
"I love you, baby,"
he whispered, and with a hand on my waist, guided me closer to his chest. I shuffled forward with a new lightness in my heart and a freedom in my soul.